All right, so tell me how you got the idea for Sensory Distortion.
Oh boy, that's a long story. The original idea. I originally wrote that as a film script probably 4 years ago, and I just loved. I kind of grew up on low budget horror movies, and I just wanted to write a real traditional low budget horror, and I think that was one of the first film scripts I wrote in that genre. I wrote that, and I wrote a werewolf script, and then I wrote a horror comedy. But Sensory Distortion was one of the scripts that actually a lot of people liked, and I was working a little bit with low budget horror production companies at the time, and it was one of those scripts that kind of it got there, it got optioned on this really low budget horror film company, and it was almost there, it's one of those kind of classic Hollywood stories where it's I love the script, let's make it in a movie. It's almost there, but it never quite got made. And then it was optioned for about a year, and I was well, if you guys aren't going to use it, I really like the story, so I got the script back, and then I converted it to concept format. And I worked with David Brain, who penciled another one of my comics, and I had him draw it up. I like the story so much, but the original concept, I think I just wanted a really traditional horror script with the kind of classic cliche horror characters, and going to a cabin in the middle of nowhere, and drugs and sex and violence and scary stuff. And achieve it.
So what was it like to work with David and David Brame and Heather Breckel on this? I mean, they really add something special with the art.
Yeah. I mean, they're an amazing team. I've worked with them on three concepts so far, and they're just on point. I mean, David cranks out pages really quick, and he's professional, and his work's amazing. And it's just a very, very efficient team. Where they love my stories, and they we all share the same image and the same vision for a lot of my stuff. And it's great. I mean, producing an 88-page horror comic is an easy thing, but they make it fun. So yeah, it's really good. I mean, especially with the visuals. I mean, David's whole concepts with the out there, they started having hallucinations in the cabin, and even later with a lot of the horror stuff. I mean, the way he was able to make that appear on paper is just amazing.
So what do you think the future of Bleeding Ink Comics is going to be? What are your goals for the imprint?
It's kind of a tough one. I mean, I generally work at film a lot. And I haven't really worked a lot since December, so I've kind of been hanging out. So the funds aren't really there to produce a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just kind of been hustling. I've been doing some Kickstarter things, getting a website made right now. My letterer, Terry Kelly, is making a website for me. So I'm getting that up, getting a little store. Hopefully I can sell a few things. The response to the comics has been amazing. I have all these fans on Facebook now and Twitter, and people that read the stuff have really liked it. So the response was there. I just need to actually sell things, which I've been doing a little bit of, but I really need to, if I want to produce more comics, I kind of need to take it to the next level, and that can be difficult. Yeah, it just costs so much money to produce these things, but it's worth it. So hopefully if I can get another gig in the next month or two, then I'll be able to produce a lot more. I want to finish up my other comic book series, Warzone, probably finish that three-issue miniseries. The next step, I have a Kickstarter, I'm going for that. I wrote a novel back in December through February that I've been doing rewrites on, and get that produced. And the thing is I've written so many scripts and so much stuff that I have, a lot of stuff to work with. It's just the cost of producing it and finding reliable artists and all that jazz is the next thing. So, I don't know. I just keep making comics. I mean, I'll do that no matter what. I don't know if I have to do it myself. I don't care. I just love making them. It's definitely my thing.
So you actively looking for creators and artists to, you know, to continue the imprint?
Well, I'm always keeping my eyes open. The thing is I have, you know, projects that have been in the works for a while. Like I have the Patriot Comic Book series, which the first issue is done, and the second part, I mean the second issue is about halfway done. But, you know, I just don't have the money to pay the artists, and I don't like really, you know, people working for free. I think people should be paid for the work, and, you know, and I have really good artists, too, so they deserve to be paid, so that's kind of on standby. I had Valley of the Cougars, which is like a horror comedy, which has been in the works about 3 months now, but, you know, same kind of thing. I'm like, well, you know, I don't want you to work for free, so have that one. And then, yeah, so, I mean, keep my eyes open. Yeah, definitely I would love to work with any kind of artist, but I just don't really have the funds for it. I mean, you know, in a perfect world, I would have $100,000 and I'd be able to produce all these scripts and I'd have, you know, all these art teams, but the money just isn't there right now. So, and, you know, keeping my eye open, but it wouldn't be for anytime soon. Yeah.
What do you think makes Bleeding Ink different from, you know, DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, Image, you know, all the big imprints? Why do you think somebody, you know, could go into a comic book store and be attracted to your work?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's definitely a unique voice, I think. I mean, people that have read my work definitely, I've heard before, they've never read a comic book before like that, where, you know, they read something like Warzone, and it's just very dark, you know, so, you know, meth addict that gets involved in a drug deal gone bad, and you know, has post-traumatic stress, and has to seek revenge on corrupt cops and drug dealers. I mean, it's like, I've never read a Marvel comic book like that. You know?
Yeah, it's
I feel like, I obviously I love comic books. I just feel like so many of them are watered down and don't, you know, they're just commercialized in so many ways. And there's a lot of really great independent comic books out there that you know, have a unique voice. I think like Bleeding Ink has that unique voice as well, where it just kind of stands out on its own legs. I think the other thing is, it's just kind of, you know, I was never trained really in comic books and in comic book writing, I should say. And I was a screenwriter and a novelist, and I wrote a book of poetry. So I kind of brought different tastes to the comic book world that I think a lot of comics just really don't have.
You mentioned before that, you know, you were kind of inspired by, you know, 80s horror and stuff like that, B-horror. But, I mean, Warzone 2 kind of has that feel of, like, a really good old-school, like, action flick. I mean, I definitely see some, like, Steve McQueen in there and Clint Eastwood and Bronson. I mean, are you influenced by any of those things?
Like action movies, or?
Yeah, but, because, I mean, I've read Warzone, and like I just said, you know, it feels like it's got a lot of, like, old-school action in it.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of came from all over the place. yeah, you know, I'm a fan of action movies, even B action movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, but I mainly grew up on horror. But you know, I grew up in the desert in like the Joshua Tree area, so I think that influenced it a lot.
I gotcha.
I also, you know, so kind of like in that area, there wasn't any television, so I had this uncle that I would stay with a lot on weekends, and he was just kind of, and my mom was like, oh, yeah, don't watch PG-13 movies or anything like that. And he would just, you know, give me a video story. He's like, yeah, get whatever you want. So I would do a lot of the B-horrors, but I would also do a lot of the kind of like Van Damme action movies. I mean, the Fortress, you know, that's more of the action
nice
movie, but a lot of kind of like low-budget action films as well. I was a big anime fan growing up, and I was a film major in college, so we studied a lot of those kinds of action movies as well. So, yeah, I kind of draw influences from all over the place.
So what do you think the future holds for you right now? I mean, you discussed, like, before, like, you're trying to get, like, stuff together, you know, for the future. But, I mean, in an ideal world, where do you want to be in, say, a year from now?
Oh, you know, I just keep writing. I mean, if I could keep working as a writer and just have as many of my comic books out there as possible. You know, if I have, it's like close to 20 comic book scripts that could be produced. And if they all got produced, that'd be amazing. If some comic book companies picked up my comics for distribution, that'd be great. If I had a website up and I was selling comics through there, that would be great. It's not about making money for me. It's just I love writing. I'd love to have the final rewrites done on this book. And I've poetry book that just got published. Try and get that out, and I just kind of keep throwing stuff at the wall and see what happens. I just want to kind of keep doing what I'm doing, but to be able to finance a lot of this stuff would be awesome, and just kind of build that fan base, which is, it's been great. Like it's kind of incredible. Like I'll post something on Facebook and then look at it. And an hour later, and 60 people or 100 people have commented or liked the photo, and that's great. So many people enjoy my vision and kind of appreciate it. I mean, there's no feeling really like that. I couldn't even imagine like putting all this work into developing these comics and like no one likes them, but the reviews have been great, and